should be, I don't know, yes, okay, I can get the last bowl.
We're at summer camp. There are kids running around, yelling at each other, playing games. But it's not tag or tug of war, like you probably remember from your camp days. These kids are inside, playing video games.
All of our screens are actually your good old-fashioned home consoles, Xbox, PS4, and Wii U.
We're at SoPro Gaming, which is, yes, that's right, a video game camp for kids. I'm Brian Ellison, this is KCUR Central Standard, and today we're talking about how kids spend their summer vacations and how it may keep changing. We begin with a trip to video game camp with KCUR intern Anna Sterla.
This summer camp isn't in the woods or at a community center. We're at a strip mall filled with consoles and screens in Overland Park.
Just about everybody in this room can probably beat Mike or I.
That's Tony Wallace. He owns SoPro Gaming with his friend, Mike Murphy.
We saw other businesses doing it and researched our industry and found some other gaming centers around the country.
Mike and Tony are both from Kansas City. This is the camp's first year, and so far, they love it. They wanted to do something educational to build more gamers. And these guys go way back.
Actually, the first time we ever met was when we were kids down at Boy Scout camp. To quote one of our campers a couple of weeks ago who just got back from Boy Scout camp, he said, these camps are totally different in the fact that 10 days and 100-degree weather versus and no technology versus all the technology I want and games that I want and learning in a place with air conditioning.
The gaming room looks industrial with concrete floors and a long line of computer stations. Some campers are tucked away in plush booths, totally wired in. Tony and Mike say it's a faux pas to walk in front of a player's screen. They teach internet safety to a wide range of ages, from 8 all the way up to 16. Campers Emma and Sam are twins. They're 11.
It's fun, and if you're like a competitive kind of gamer.
I like gaming because my dad was a gamer, my uncle was a gamer, so I kind of grew up playing video games on and off.
It's like a family thing now.
Yeah.
And is there still kind of that competitive stuff?
Yeah. We mostly like, when we get like really excited and we win, we mostly trash talk and then we lose the next round. So, and then it pretty much just having fun and gaming with your family.
For Tony and Mike, it's so much more than friendly competition. It's about the kids learning other skills, collaboration, teamwork.
Stereotypically, gamers are people that don't communicate with others or don't get out. And our whole objective for SoPro is to bring people together that are like-minded.
And Tony says that the potential impact of gaming only seems to be growing.
Not everybody's gaming in the dark anymore. You have, and Mike and I are not necessarily ultimate gamers, but you're starting to see colleges that are actually looking to make gaming a sport.
Not the way a lot of us spent our summer vacations, but maybe the camp of the future.
That was Central Standard intern Anna Sterla getting us started with how kids have spent their summer in the Kansas City area and maybe how that whole concept is changing. Marie Kissick is a former educator, former because what she does full-time now is be a mom. Hi, Marie.
Hi, how are you?
Doing great. Thanks for coming.
Thank you for inviting me.
How did you spend your summers when you were a kid?
You know, spending my summers as a kid was a lot different. Spend my summers going outside as soon as the sun came up, meeting up with my friends and my cousins and additional people that we would play with in the neighborhood, and we would come home in the evening. It was, you know, sundown, and that's when curfew was time, and it was time to be with your family at that point.
So it was not at video game camp.
It was not video game camp. You know, that was exactly what they wanted me to not do.
Yeah. Does it strike you when you hear stories like that? Does that say, wow, things are different now?
You know, it does. It does. But at the same time, there was a couple of things in there that I truly did like. The fact that they're exposing internet safety as an actual program to children who are going to be doing internet playing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where our times are going. It is about following what's going on, but also putting in those precautions for children.
So, and now it's your own kids thinking about. How old are they?
They are 6 and 7.
And how are they spending their summer?
You know, they are spending their summer by doing crafts, hanging out outside in the hot weather, and doing some volunteer work.
Have you seen, I mean, obviously they're getting older, so the things they do during the summer change.
Absolutely.
But have you seen this changing even just in the last 5-10 years, what kids and parents are doing?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, 5-10 years ago, you did not see a child walking around with their own iPad. You did not see a 10-year-old walking around with their own cell phone. And that's what we see nowadays, specifically with this Pokemon craze. There is a child from 5 years old to the youngest I've seen to all the way to adults, and they're doing it as a family now. And before, it was children did internet and a lot of your computer work on their own. And parents utilize that as time for them to kind of get some stuff done. But now it's parents are combining themselves with their kids and doing it together. So, yes, it's changed. As long as we do these things responsibly, I think the change is good.
Yeah. I mean, in a way it's different because obviously you didn't all have your own iPad to carry around 30 years ago. But,
exactly.
But does it actually seem like there is some continuity, that emphasis on wanting to do things as a family?
Absolutely.
At least in their case?
Absolutely. And that's something you see even with utilizing the streetcars that we have. There are applications on there for kids that can do scavenger hunts. And when you go out as a family, because it is a family activity, you'll pull it up and you will show them, okay, so what's the scavenger hunt? And a lot of times what I love about it, it's about the city. It's about what's going on at that downtown library. Who do you see down there? Who are the storytellers? What's going on the top of the roofs of Constantino's with kids having lunches up there? So yes, it is. And a lot of times it was about going to the library and reading those books about it. But now we're experiencing it firsthand.
Well, we're inviting our listeners to tell us what they and their kids are doing this summer. And of course, you can tell us by social media at KCURCST. That's on Twitter. We'd love to hear from you. Paula wrote earlier that her kids are taking advantage of free spray parks on their days off from pre-K, nature centers and hikes, and to feed buffalo and elk, the KC Zoo, Crown Center. Lots of things to do in Kansas City, especially when you can do it as a family. We'd love to hear from you. Again, we're on Twitter at KCURCST. Of course, Tyler Baker, you're the school-age program coordinator for Operation Breakthrough. Maria's kids are fortunate that mom is able to shepherd them through this whole bunch of summer activities. She can plan and she can be with them for it. I'm guessing you work with a lot of kids for whom that's not the case.
That is true, and good morning.
Good morning. How many kids does Operation Breakthrough typically keep an eye on during the summer?
During the summer, we've got two programs running in tandem. There's an early childhood department that has about 380 kids, and then we've got a school-age program that I kind of oversee that's about 120 kids.
And how are these kids spending their summer?
These kids are spending their summer. We say it's they do reading for breakfast and math for lunch, and then at the end of the day, they do extracurricular activities, so soccer, music, all kinds of really fun stuff that they don't normally get to do during the school year.
So what's the balance? Is it 50-50 between fun and games and serious learning stuff?
It's a little more academic focus, just because, you know, with the urban youth, we want to make sure that they're getting they're mitigating the summer loss for their academics. So we want to kind of encourage more like 70% and 30%. So 70% academics and about 30% extracurricular.
Unpack that a little bit. Mitigating the summer loss. Mm-hmm. What is the loss you're afraid of?
So research shows that, Turn the Page KC was founded in 2011 by Mayor Sly James. And they found that on average, it's about 1 month of loss for reading for any student who's not involved in a summer program. So we're trying to mitigate that summer loss by adding academics for 8 weeks during the summer.
Does it work? Is there a study that shows that kids who do this sort of thing during the summer turn out not to have forgotten as much by the time they get back to school?
Yeah. So we use a program called Star Reading, and it's based on accelerated reading programs. And we found that this year, for our students, we gained 4 months of reading in that two-month window. So instead of losing that month, we actually gained 4 months.
Okay, I have to say, though, I mean, we're talking about going to the water park, and we're talking about playing outside in the sun. That sounds a little boring, I just have to be honest.
It is true. The kids do kind of, you know, cringe when they have to do the reading. But we also pump in field trips every week. We have two field trips, one to Kansas City, just fun places in Kansas City, and the other one, swimming. And during swimming, we get to take them to the pool and teach them how to swim and teach them all those fun things that they could do during summer.
Do you have a sense of what these kids would be doing if they weren't in your day programs?
You know, I don't. I don't. I kind of
nothing
cringe too. Yeah, because I know that it'd be, you know, Pokemon and social media and that kind of stuff. But with the lack of resources, you know, it's really difficult for them to discover something to do when they don't have those things kind of laid out for them.
I want to talk more about those programs, but I also want to ask our listeners, what are your kids doing right now? While you luxuriate in the dulcet tones of public radio talk shows, how are your kids busying themselves, learning something, or just staying out of your hair? Give us a call and tell us. We really want to know. 816-235-2888. That's 235-2888. Or again, you can send us a note on Twitter at KCURCST. Dave Smith is president of the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Kansas City. Hi, Dave.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Good, and you?
Doing well, thanks. The issue, of course, isn't just about having fun or staying busy. We've been talking about how it's to affect kids' learning. What do the Boys and Girls Clubs do about all that?
Well, as Tyler mentioned, we also have a pretty robust educational program. Actually, year-round, we have a framework that we call Project Learn, and so virtually any activity can be a learning situation, and staff is trained to make that happen. But in the summer, it's concentrated, again, to affect the summer learning loss that kids we serve are already behind.
Can you give me an example of how any situation can become a learning situation in the summer?
Well, play billiards, for instance, a pool.
Mm-hmm.
All the angles and the counting and the, sort of strategies there. So how many balls you have left, sequencing, shoot one through nine ball.
Yeah.
You know, or...
So you think you're playing a game, but you're really learning math.
Right.
Do you have a sense of, how many kids are involved and what ages?
Our June count was about 1,600 kids a day, and we go from ages 5 to 18.
Wow. And how is it different in the summer than year-round? I mean, you said you have year-round programs. Do you kind of ramp up the fun part in the summer?
Obviously, there's more time for that in the summer and more summer activities. But the school year being shorter, more crowded with activities going on at school or home or just the season, it gets darker, colder. So the summer affords us a big opportunity to do a wide range of things. So field trips, we operate a couple of pools in our buildings, and where we don't, we're in public facilities. I mean, we had kids out of Smithville recently learning water safety through a program called Wake the World. So it's just one thing after another that the kids are involved in, is keeping that fun element. You know, we recognize that what's needed is more time on task for kids to learn more academically, but it shouldn't be at the expense of their being a kid, you know, and having fun.
You mentioned this balance between having fun. We heard from Tyler about reading programs. How do you teach kids about things that are things like science, things like art, but in ways that they don't feel like they're in school year round.
Sure. Well, first of all, our body of work is known as youth development, and inherent in that is that you help kids be a part of their own learning and development. So that means adults aren't calling the shots 100% of the time. They're inviting kids into the conversation. And secondly, in the design of what we do helps with that. But we have a summer end of our program, which is called Atomic Blast. It's a STEM-oriented program. At the end, we have a science exhibit, and the kids prepare projects all summer, and then they exhibit them, and we pick the winners at the end. So that is done in a fun, exploratory way. You know, kids really turn on when you pique their interest with the simplest of things, and their opportunity to learn and show what they learn is as motivating as anything.
You know, I was struck by some of the things folks were writing on Facebook in answer to this question this morning, especially for the kids who are home for much of the summer and the effort that parents make to kind of balance, get their kids to do learning activities or chore activities and reward them with fun. So Jennifer, for example, wrote about how before her kids use electronics, they have to first read for 20 minutes, then do two math worksheets, and then because her family's living in Germany right now, they have to learn three new German language skills, and then they get 20 minutes with their iPad. Another person wrote, Tim wrote that they're using something called the Super Summer Challenge, which involves putting up charts and all these activities that their kids check off the boxes one by one as they do things. Maria, do you use those kinds of activities with your kids?
I do. I use it with kids, my own children, and I used it when I was teaching.
Mm-hmm. Why does that work, or does it work?
Incentive. Children are driven by incentive, and they are driven by what that incentive is. And kind of like Dave was saying, they want to have fun. And all of these items like STEM, robotics club, those items that you can put on a whiteboard that gives them, one, the realization that it can come to play. I am in charge of what I can do, and I can make this a reality for myself. And when they see that, and it is something that is either an instant gratification for younger children, or it is a goal gratification for older children, they want to reach that goal. And just like us as adults, kids have goals, and we should be able to give them those goals. So when you give them activities and items to reach for, they will go ahead and they will reach it, because just like us, you know, if we want that, let's say, a shiny new car, we're going to work very hard for it. Mm-hmm. So just like these children want to have hands-on activities and go to the pool or play with their computer games or even just watch TV, those are good goals to accomplish for them.
You know, Tyler, I wonder if any of this is different for different families, depending on factors like the number of parents in the home or income levels. Does that affect the way families have conversations about what summer activities are going to be involved?
Definitely. And the reason that we moved back, my wife and I had moved to Portland for a while, and the reason that we moved back was family support. I've got my family in Kansas City, and she's got her family in Tulsa. So a major part of that resource is to be able to have those family units around so they can create new activities, create those whiteboard activities, and to have many options for summer.
Yeah. Dave, as you think about all the kids that you've worked with, is there one or two who stand out to you as where this summer activity has been especially important?
Hundreds.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just yesterday, I came through our office, and two young men who play in our baseball program, they were in the office, and I'd seen them play the night before I went out to the game. And one is just racked up scholarships to college, very talented young man. And the other kid, who was a catcher, he hit a ball in the gap. It should have been a double. He didn't have the speed. So I got on him about not stretching it into a double. But, you know, just to see those young people, you know, participate and compete. I did that as a kid. I grew up in Boys Club playing baseball in the summer. So that's just one of the many examples.
Well, when we come back, we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we'll continue our look at how kids have spent and are spending their summers in Kansas City, including a look at one stalwart neighborhood pool and the community that gathers there. We'll continue the conversation with Tyler Baker, Dave Smith, and Marie Kissick when we come back. I'm Brian Ellison, KCUR Central Standard. We'll return. Welcome back. It's KCUR's Central Standard. I'm Brian Ellison. Well, it's getting to be mid-August in Kansas City, and you know what that means. Plenty of sun, excessive heat advisories, and just the last few days of summer vacation. As we turn to the future of summer, let's check out a pool in South Hyde Park, where there's no gates, not even a fence, no chairs, no entrance fees. There were rumors that it was closing after 39 years, but Gillam Park Pool has remained a hot place to cool off this summer. Still, it may not have many seasons left. KCUR intern Anna Leach recently visited the pool and found a place that has forged its own community.
When I asked siblings Charles and Jakaira Jones and their cousin Devontae Manning what their favorite part of Gillum Park Pool was, the response was almost immediate.
No, everything. Good graphics.
Even though it's 3 feet, it's cool.
Gillum Park Pool sits in the middle of a city park, in a gap between small groves of trees. Its large, cascading concrete steps create an amphitheater-like shape, gradually leading to a large basin, the main pool. It's a slow day, with only about 70 people swimming or sunbathing. Gillum Park Pool was built in 1977 as a hybrid between a fountain and a wading pool. Although the fountain parts no longer work, generations of Kansas Cityans have continued to swim at the free facility. Julie and Gabriel takes a short break from swimming with her daughter Adea and niece Brightly on one of the stone slabs that make the pool's deck. Gabriel started coming to this pool 13 years ago as a recent high school graduate right after moving to the neighborhood.
This was like the first pool I started going to faithfully and playing with my friends in the pool. I was much younger then.
Gabriel has since moved to Independence, and Gillum Park Pool is now a 25-minute drive instead of a few minutes walk away. But still.
I know it's open. I will be down here. Now I get to bring my daughter here. It's kind of nice. I used to swim here. Now she swims here.
Gabriel says as much as she loves the memories, the pool's community is a big reason she keeps coming back.
There's people of all walks of life that come here. That's really refreshing. Especially being biracial myself and having biracial kids, it's nice to see that multi-race mingling and stuff.
On the other side of the pool, Kansas City, Missouri police officer Luke Albahalka playfully scolds a bunch of kids to get out of the bed of a pickup. Albahalka works security in an off-duty capacity at the pool, which usually means handing out bottled water, answering kids' questions, and occasionally playing some catch or football.
This pool is more or less built and made for the community, and it's just a good place to hang out. It's a safe place to hang out. We don't really ever have any issues up here, which is a good thing and a testament to the community that, you know, this is a place to have fun, get away from kind of all the issues and all the problems that are happening across the country.
The only drawback, Albahalka says, is a lack of shade and amenities like water fountains.
I'd like to see the city invest some money in this pool, and hopefully we can start some up this winter, this fall, with some plans or some zoning and planning agreements to get the pool some money.
The Kansas City, Missouri Parks Department, though, has some other plans for the area. Outdoor Aquatics Administrator Doug Schrader is aware that the pool is not in the best of shape.
The actual structure of the pool is deteriorating. It has several leaks in it that require us to maintain, you know, the fill line to keep it full throughout the day. So it's just, you know, pools don't last forever, and it's deteriorating. And so there's going to be a moment where it leaks more than we're able to fill.
But fixing up the pool, that would be a huge financial undertaking. Schrader says it would cost the city around $1.5 million to bring it up to current standards.
Just to keep it in simple terms, it's just a big bathtub. We filled up with water in the morning. We put chemicals in it to change to monitor the pH balance and the chlorine level. And then we drained it at night. And we do the whole thing over again every day.
With this in mind, the Hyde Park Neighborhood Association has begun fundraising to replace the pool with the spray grounds near the playgrounds in the park. So far, they've secured city funding for about a sixth of their $500,000 goal. Schrader says the project is hoping for more city funding next year, and possibly some private donations, so the spray grounds can be functional by next summer. Jenna Munoz, vice president of the Hyde Park Neighborhood Association, says that the completion of the spray park will emphasize the neighborhood's visions for the public space.
It just allows us a lot of room to put in ideas that we as a neighborhood really, really like. So, for instance, one of the key things that we're having in our spray ground is going to be a water table. And inside the water table is going to be a relief of Gillum Park. And so they're going to have little fountains, one where the spray ground will be and then one where one of our memorial fountains is.
The closing of the pool and the opening of the spray park is a little bittersweet, though, for lifelong patrons like Julie and Gabriel. She says although a new facility could be nice, it just won't be the same.
I am going to miss it. We have a lot of spray parks already. It's kind of nice to have like a pool, but, you know.
But Gillum Park Pool did stay open this summer. And for Candace Harris, who is visiting the pool for the first time with her four children, that's good enough for now.
You know, we save back. You know, our money, we don't have to pay for swimming. We can pay for school supplies. Yeah, last day, a couple summers, and let them enjoy.
The pool closed for the summer last Sunday. The Parks Department will try to keep the pool open until the spray park is ready. But that timeline will depend on funding for the spray park and the condition of the pool.
Where are the other three?
Casey, our intern Anna Leach brought us that story. In fact, that's part of how she spent her summer vacation from college. We're talking today about kids and summer vacation with our guests, Dave Smith from the Boys and Girls Clubs, Tyler Baker from Operation Breakthrough, and Marie Kissick, who's an educator and a mom. We're also talking with you, our listeners, and we want to know how you and your kids are spending summer vacation. Give us a call at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. 2888. Tell us what you enjoy and maybe what is hard in the summer and how your summer is going. That piece we heard from Anna Leach about a neighborhood pool, that unstructured time, Dave Smith, it's different than what kids would get if they're coming to the Boys and Girls Club. How do kids handle unstructured time at a pool like that? Is that a good thing?
I know that pool well. I lived in Hyde Park for many years and would pass that spot regularly, and it's just, you know, it's run over with kids and so hot and, but, you know, it is a perfect kind of cool off. It doesn't teach swimming.
Yeah.
Which is important for kids to learn those water safety skills. And it's a great self-esteem builder as well. But as long as there's supervision there and parents who often don't come with their kids, you know, it's still a nice, refreshing break, particularly in the summer like we're having. But that's one example of the kinds of things kids enjoy doing and have fun doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Tyler, when I was a kid, I ran all over town in the summers without anyone watching me. I grew up in a place where that was sometimes out of necessity because my parents weren't home, and partly because it was okay for me to do that where I lived. Do you feel like that's good for kids? Have you seen kids for whom that has been a good thing?
I have, and you know, I did the same thing when I was younger. We would, you know, ride bikes all over the neighborhood, and we would be out from, you know, sunrise to sunset, and only break every once in a while to get, you know, some lunch from mom, and then go back out and do it again. Yeah. And there is something to be said about, you know, free time and being able to do, you know, just whatever you want to, whenever you want to. But, you know, it is really important, too, as Dave said, to have, you know, some structure around some of those activities, especially when it comes to, you know, like pool safety, which is why, you know, we teach kids swimming every year. It's very important that they know those skills, just in case they are at this pool, and they do have to do something that, you know, helps another child.
You know, we had one response on Twitter. This person said, "When not at Montessori, I keep my child busy outside, creating, going to the library, etc. And the child doesn't ask to use electronics. It's exhausting and worth it," says this parent. Yeah. Marie, do you try to exhaust your children?
You do. You do try to exhaust them. But I will say the one thing about Montessori, it's a different style of teaching. And what I believe Dave and Tyler are doing, you don't have Montessori. That it's built in, because I feel like Dave says, with life there comes those life skills that you learn, and that's something that we learn a lot. But I also think that in moderation there needs to be unstructured time, which allows a child to use their ability to use imagination. Problem solve on their own without somebody trying to problem solve for them. So it gives them the ability to work with others. But at the same time, there still needs to be structure built into it. So when it comes to Montessori specifically, Montessori is a chaotic world in a structured environment. And that is what Montessori is, because you are constantly keeping them busy. You are constantly onto the next schedule and everything is timed for you. That's what makes it easy in the sense of a Montessori activity. The activities are from the moment you get there, mm-hmm. at 8 a.m. until 6 o'clock when you leave. There is a time for everything, and it's easy to follow. And I think that's why it's easy for me with my children.
Yeah.
We utilize a structured schedule.
Yeah.
And that's how I talk to a lot of my friends and family. You know, when they say, "Well, what do I do with my kid? I've got 3 hours. What do I fill it with?"
Right. Tyler, I mean, you with the kids at Operation Breakthrough, you don't have the option of handing out iPads, I have a feeling, to the 380 kids in the preschool program or something. Maybe someday. But what do you do then? I mean, can you give me an example of how a kid is filling that time that is still structured, but not around the things that, a lot of us and a lot of parents have come to rely on to, structure our time.
Sure, sure. So the beginning of the programs, what we do is we kind of lay out the schedule, and what we do is we kind of rotate the kids through zones. So like we have the benefit of having a smart lab. So just as an example, one of those activities that the kids go and do, they get all their friends together and they head over to the smart lab. And then that smart lab has the whole day structured. So from the time they sit in seats and they start their launcher to the time that they finish their project or they do a presentation, it's open for them to do whatever they want to and to use any creativity that they want to during that time period. But they're expected, you know, results at the end.
816-235-2888 is the number to call if you want to share what you and your kids are doing for the summer and filling that time during summer vacation. Molly in Independence called 235-2888. Molly, good morning.
Good morning.
What are your kids up to?
Well, we participated in Summer Success, which is a summer school program that's ran by the Independence School District. And they're, you know, before and after school care, you know, in a place like Independence, and I know probably Kansas City, Missouri, you know, summertime is great, but it also can be a real hardship finding childcare. And, you know, some people get to go to the pool and all that, but a lot of us with the dual working parents, it can be a real tough time.
And so how have you dealt with it? What do your kids enjoy doing, given that both parents are working?
Well, you know, we're lucky that Independence offers these programs to keep the kids occupied, and we're lucky that we're both employed and able to afford that. But, you know, I know some kids rely on these programs for their, you know, their breakfast and their lunch every day. You know, they miss out on those meals being out of school, and they fall behind. And so they really do a good job. They do schoolwork, so it keeps the kids on track. But they have water days, and they make sure that they keep it real fun for them.
I appreciate that, Molly. Thanks so much for calling in.
Yeah, thank you.
And Dave, I mean, Molly mentioned the need that some kids have for meals alongside the education and the activity.
Absolutely. That's important. We have kitchen staff at every club, and morning snack and lunch, and then before they go home, just so that's a very viable offering. I would share with that caller, we have a great club in Independence, two clubs mm-hmm. in Independence area. So I think the fee was $125 for the year, for 9 weeks of jam-packed 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Care and activities.
Which is way, way cheaper than childcare anywhere.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's things for kids of all ages there. We have a teen center that is a fabulous facility with a studio. The kids are in there making sounds and beats and, you know, all the other things that
they do.
So, one of the issues is transportation that families often don't have access to get to these places. And so that's a very real problem. We've tried to address that in the Kansas City area more and more, but knowing about these programs and accessing them is as important as anything else.
We had Anne write in. She lives out in the country a little ways. She says, daughter Lydia has a part-time job at a veterinarian clinic in town. Bobby and Chloe had a job pollinating corn for a few weeks. They learned a lot about corn and also a lot of corny jokes. when she asked her son what he learned, he said he learned all about child labor. It does sort of raise a question for me. I mean, a lot of kids, especially as they get older, do work summer jobs. We haven't talked about that at all. Dave Smith, I mean, a lot of the kids you work with in the Boys and Girls Clubs are of age where they could work summer jobs. Do you think that's a healthy thing?
Well, we know it's what they want also. And so,
because they want to have a little money.
They want to have a little money. And we have a program called First Jobs, and it prepares kids to be placed. And along with that, they're learning about careers all the time. So, you know, we encourage and we incentivize your, you know, eligibility for a job with your participation,
mm-hmm.
and you've got to be. We got to put our seal of approval on you if we're going to put you out there. So, kids have told us over the years it's important that we have some work, and so that balance that and the summer is a great time for that.
Have you seen a time, and any of you can answer this, where a kid working a job that has turned out to be the best educational experience they could have had?
Absolutely. I've seen that with children who have a hard time actually doing the pen to paper in school. They get their first job and they learn some skills that they can bring back and refocus with them at school. Mm-hmm. I've seen and one good example is in Shawnee Mission, they have a program, the Broadmoor Cooking School.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of those kids there find that helps them learn. That helps them with math. That helps them with reading. And it gets them in the kitchen to use their hands. And that's how they learn, through using their hands, picking up things. And it helps them, because I've seen a lot of those kids go to a lot of different culinary schools out of town, as well as at Johnson County Community College. And they've made that their job and their passion. And that has changed their lives 100%.
Tyler, I want to ask about developing kids, not just academically or even musically or artistically, but as people, as kids. Are there ways that happens? Obviously, that happens just along the way in the way they interact with the staff there at Operation Breakthrough. But can you think of a kid or of a program that particularly develops the character of kids over the summers?
Sure. So we also use a program called Second Steps that kind of focuses on affect management and focuses on like specifically bullying, bigger issues that help teach the kids how to socialize, how to be kids, how to interact with each other without, you know, like following those triggers. So that's just one of the programs that we use. And I was going to say, Dave, you mentioned earlier like the cost of like the Boys and Girls Club, and the caller had mentioned the cost and not being able to sometimes not being able to afford one of those programs if mom and dad are both working. Mm-hmm. So our programs are free, but we try to bring in those families that need those programs and need those wraparound services at no cost, just to make sure that they're doing all the things that they need to do and be successful without having a cost to it.
As we run out of time here, I guess I just want to ask about the future. We've already established that it's different than it used to be, and maybe it's changed even fairly rapidly in the last 5-10 years with technology. Where do you see summer going? I mean, there's talk about year-round schools in some districts. Tyler's shaking his head. Well, I mean, what's the future of summer? How do you see it continuing to change? Dave Smith?
You know, I think we have to, I think, be realistic here. In our case, I know Tyler and my population that we serve, while we want kids to enjoy childhood and adolescence, I mean, they need the help with social skills, for instance, that you just talked about. Unfortunately, family settings don't always provide that, and role models aren't always around. And so we're looking at the future workforce. And we know that means people have to be dependable. So
more work to do.
Keep that in mind.
More work to do. Well, we're going to have to leave it there. That's Dave Smith of the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Kansas City. Also have Tyler Baker from Operation Breakthrough and Marie Kissick from being a mom and an educator. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you so much for having us.
When we come back, KCUR's Central Standard will turn from how kids spend their summer days to how adults might spend some of their summer evenings listening to local music. Ghost Notes brings us a look at the buzz. I'm Brian Ellison. Don't go away.